to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jody Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hello, Where Brains Meet Beauty listeners. Today I'm joined by our VP Client Success, Eleni. Hello, Eleni.
Hi, Jody. Welcome back from sunny LA. It sounds like you packed a lot into that trip.
It actually wasn't so sunny. It rained in LA when I was there. It was a little bit cold, but not as cold as it is here today with like 2 feet of snow.
Right. How was the trip? Tell us more.
The week was just all about relationship building. I got to spend a lot of quality time with our client, Zio Skin Health, at their office in Irvine, which is amazing. And got to meet the extended team face-to-face and have a really productive brainstorming session with them. And it was actually the first time that our clients saw our new branding for Base Beauty. So that was really exciting.
Very fun. No pressure at all.
Yeah. So they loved it. So that felt really good.
You also met up with the past Where Brains Meet Beauty podcast guest while you were there. Who was that?
Yeah. So Brian Appio, he's the founder of Drywater. His office is in Irvine also. And I got to see it. It's brand new. They're just like literally, as we speak, building it out. It looks so good. And he's such an interesting guy. We had a really, really fun conversation.
Oh, that's awesome. And then we had a Base Beauty dinner.
Yeah. So it was a busy week. So we hosted at Dante Beverly Hills at the top of the Mayborn Hotel. It's so beautiful. And it's Eleni, thanks to your recommendation that we host dinners there. And it was an incredible table. So much great conversation. We did play an icebreaker game. Do you want to hear what I chose?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's two truths and a lie, but like your career version of it. So people picked, you know, two like interesting things that they've encountered in their career and then made one up. And we all had to guess which one was the made up one.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. And I imagine very challenging, even just knowing the people on the show. Like there are so many wild cards.
That's right. So it was actually really fun. And it was a really nice activity to do in between courses.
Oh, that's awesome. The dinners that we host are one of my favorite things we do. It's bringing people together who are not normally in the same room.
Yes, it was such a well-matched group. And one of my most fun things to do before dinner is to do the seating arrangements to put people together that I feel like need to know each other. And I did create some magic.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, and then you wrapped up the trip with a conference. Tell us about that.
Yes, Connected Health and Fitness. I was in the room with leaders, like the leaders in fitness, in nutrition, in longevity. Really interesting event. I met so many people, learned actually so many new things. I think what's interesting to learn about fitness and nutrition as it ties to personal care, as it ties to all the different beauty segments, is like culture is at the center of it all, right? Like these tribal communities like you that love their gym, love that brand, wear the t-shirt, as Sarah says. It's so alive and well in the fitness and nutrition areas.
Oh, that's incredible. I can't wait to hear more. Okay. So basically breakfast meetings, client strategy, community building, and future forward growth all in one trip.
Yes. I make the most of my trips.
You really do. And with that, let's get into today's episode. Who do we have on the show?
Okay. This was our Power Duos theme. Such a fun theme. And we have Young Shi Tan and Aidan Naziri. So they're the co-founders of Bestie Nails. It's really an episode you have to listen to. They're a couple in life and a couple in business. And they met in college, right? So they've been coupled together for quite some time. And they're incredibly fascinating to listen to. And they're ambitious. And they also seem like they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an amazing conversation about work-life balance with your partner. So let's dive into it. Episode 303 with Young Shi Tan and Aidan Naziri to hear more about Bestie Nails.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. This is our Power Duos theme, and we're going to discuss all things press-on nails with Young Shi Tan, co-founder of Bestie Nails, and Aidan Naziri, co-founder of Bestie Nails. Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, we're so excited.
So this is a career journey show, and our listeners tune in because they want to have guidance or inspiration in their career. So we're going to go way back in time, and Young Shi, we'll start with you. When you're 10 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up?
So I always had the dream of becoming a filmmaker, and I still do. I mean, a lot of what I do at Bestie is very related to sort of this aspiration as well. So I love movie, I love storytelling, and that's always been my passion. But I have always wanted to be and still want to be a filmmaker, you know, at the end of the day. And yeah, I think that's a long-term dream that I'm chasing.
And what were some of the films that inspired you when you were that young?
I think a lot, you know, like I love beauty, of course. So for every young girl, Devil Wears Prada is always a yes. And I love any, you know, 2000s, like rom-com, that's always been my thing. And my taste in film has changed a little bit. But when I was younger, that was, I love a good New York City rom-com.
Well, one of my jobs earlier in my career, I was the assistant to the editor-in-chief of a fashion magazine. So I had Andy's job. Okay, so Aidan, tell us about you. What's your 10-year-old career dream?
When I was about 10 years old, I actually wanted to be a tiki totem carver. So I carve various wooden sculptures with Polynesian art. I'm not sure where exactly that came from. I think I just liked kind of how it looked. And so for a while, ever since I was preschool, up to maybe about like 10 or 12, that was my main interest. Of course, what I do now is very different. And unlike Yangshi, is in no way really related to that. But as I kind of got older, you know, I always love reading. I love history. Eventually, I, you know, majored in political science, but I always kind of had a passion more for working with businesses and startups. And so that was kind of eventually what led me to it. But yeah, so maybe I have a little, artistic side somewhere deep within.
I heard a lot of career aspirations. This is our 300 and something episode. Never has anyone mentioned
that. So the tiki totem carver? Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad to be the first.
Yeah, so this is definitely, like, there's a lot of athletes, dancers, ice skaters, right? But I've never heard of this one. So this is interesting. Okay, so Yangshi, let's actually fast forward to when you're starting your career. What was your first job?
Yeah, so my first job, actually, I was working as a management consultant at the Boston Consulting Group. So I was focusing very heavily on finance. And that was sort of the training that I had in college. I worked very briefly in, like, you know, trading jobs. So, you know, when you're like trading stocks and equities and derivatives. So I had a very heavy training in finance. And I would say, you know, a couple months into my, you know, this is my first job out of college, I realized this is really not quite for me, no matter how much, you know, my Asian parents trying to force me to liking a finance job or a big or corporate job. I really found that to not be the best fit for me. So that's when I had the idea for Bessie, and I quit my job to start this company. So the rest is history, and we can always get into more about how Bessie was born as an idea to a business. But my background truly is more sort of focusing on finance. I work on a lot of like early stage investing. I work on a lot of trading, equity, derivative tradings. So very like technicals.
Yeah. So I'm just hearing your story. You started Bessie very early into your career,
which is pretty unusual.
A lot of people, like, you know, sort of have that vision later on after toiling away. So we definitely are going to dig into that together. So Aidan, what about you? What was that first career move?
Yeah, so kind of similar to Yangshi, I was working in not the consulting space, but more in the investment space. So I was in the growth equity field. And during that time, I looked at a lot of different e-commerce companies and some beauty companies, a lot of logistics companies that were touching different parts of e-commerce. So that was kind of my closest touch point, I guess, to what I'm doing now. But I think similarly with Yangshi, I joke that sometimes I feel like I wasn't a very good employee. I think that's kind of true. I think in some ways, maybe I had no choice but to start my own thing. I think I was just always a little bit like restless. I always wanted, you know, more autonomy or the ability to do something slightly different. And so when, you know, we were kind of coming up with the idea for Bessie, it just made sense for me to, yeah, leave that role and then join with Yangshi full time.
Okay, so this is a Power Duos theme today. This is the first time we've had this theme, actually. How did you come together? What was what brought you together? Tell us about that story. We can start with you and Yangshi.
So that's a great question. We're actually a couple. Yes. So we've been dating since college, since junior year of college, and we knew each other way before we started any job, any business.
Yep. Wait, but you did not go to the same college?
We did not go to the same college.
So how did you meet up?
We actually met on Hinge.
Shout out to Hinge, I guess. Yeah. That is how we came together at the end of the day.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we met there. We went to colleges that were very close to each other, but then we both were actually doing internships in New York City area. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of started meeting up like during that time when we were a junior.
Okay. Yeah. So how long into dating did the two of you turn to each other and be like, we should have a business together someday?
I think starting from the start of our first day, we bonded over entrepreneurship. Yeah. We're both definitely going to have a business. Mm-hmm. we never thought we were going to do a business together. We don't really know, like, you know, too much about each other at that point. Mm-hmm. But we very much bonded over entrepreneurship and, you know, sort of the value that also our family instilled in us. My dad is an entrepreneur himself, mm-hmm. and he have always just educated me on, you got to start your own business. You got to be your own boss. You got to work for yourself. And that's the only way. And I can get to a lot of this story about, you know, kind of my family stories being in entrepreneurship. But we very much bonded since the first day on wanting to start a business or doing something of our own.
Yep. So, Aidan, did you also, like, early on realize, like, I need to be my own boss?
I think I did. I think similarly to what you were mentioning before, I think I, like a lot of people, was sort of like, yeah, you know, I'll work kind of different jobs for 10 years, gain some more experience, and then, you know, when I feel ready, I think I'll do it. I think that can be a trap some people fall into. I definitely know people who I graduated with who are like, yeah, I'm going to start a business too. Just give me 2 years. And it's 4 years now, and they still haven't done it. And they're like, just 4 more years, and I've got it. But I think, yeah, pretty early on, I realized it. And then I think because Yangshi shared that same value too, it was, like, you know, reinforced, and I felt very supported in that desire as well.
So, Yangshi, how many years has Bessie been around?
We have been in business for 2 years.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I've been working on this business for 3 years now.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is not just power duos as people who work together. This is power duos as you have a relationship outside of work. Yes. So this is a different dynamic. And I think this might be the only situation this whole day.
So we're
going to dig into this while I have you here.
Yes, okay. Please do.
So do you have rules about when you talk about work and when you stop talking about work? Aidan, tell me.
Do we have rules? We don't have hard rules. Yeah. I think sometimes if one of us brings up a work thing and the other person is like, I'm not feeling that right now, then that's kind of like the signal to maybe table that conversation for later. But I think for the most part, because we live and work together so often, it kind of flows into each other fairly fluidly. Like, we'll be talking about a movie we want to go see, and then we might also just talk about, like, a marketing idea we have in the same conversation. Right.
Exactly. So this is a really interesting dynamic, because, like, when I watch TV or I watch movies or out in the world, I very often, almost on a daily basis, get inspired for something about work.
Yes.
Right. So I would imagine if my partner in life was next to me in that TV show, in that movie, and in the business, I would not stop talking about work.
Yeah,
exactly.
But work fills me up, you know? So I'm just wondering, like, what are the moments when you're just like, I can't do this anymore? Like, what's going on inside where you're like, you realize I need a break from talking about work. Let's just be humans together. Yangshi, we'll start with you.
I would say, to be honest, I don't think we ever had that moment where we're like, let's not talk about work. I think, you know, a lot of people talk about work-life balance. And I think we kind of have to learn it our own way. I think our life kind of is our work to a certain extent, because we're running, you know, a business together. So it all merged together. And I think that is kind of a beautiful and productive thing. So, you know, the other day I remember we were watching, like, I Love LA, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I have to pause. And I was like, what's her nails? Like, is that our press on? Like, wait, let me see the design. So we're both very invested in this business. And I think we literally kind of dedicate our life truly to, like, making this business better. So I would say, honestly, everything we do is kind of revolve around the business. And of course, you know, we try to take time for ourselves, for our mental health and for self-care. But I think it's it flows pretty well.
So Aidan, what is it that you like to do together that is not work?
Yeah. I think we, in terms of non-work things, oh man, I'm like digging to think about it. No, that's okay. We don't just work all the time, I promise.
Yeah.
I think that, like, so we like chat, we have conversations with you. I think we do, like, normal couple stuff, I would say. You know, go to the movies, right? Yeah. Like, go on a date, things like that, where, you know, we won't talk about work exclusively. I think that sometimes, I think with any, like, a company you're running, I think in any role, there's always some parts of it that you really like and that do give you a lot of energy. And then there's some parts of it that are maybe not as exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to talk about, you know, an email I have to send to, you know, XYZ person, but maybe I have a really cool idea and you can gain energy from that. Right. So I think sometimes, like, when Yangshi says, like, we talk about it really often, I think it's like, you know, we give ourselves a break from talking about the more boring or less fun parts. And sometimes we talk about the parts that really excite us. And I think that's part of what gives us energy, like, in our daily life too, without feeling draining.
So, Yangshi, why did you start this company?
Yeah, I would say it kind of was truly born out of a need as a consumer of press-on nails myself. So while I was working in my corporate job, you know, I wanted to look presentable, always have my nails done. You know, as a young person, I have a limited budget, so I always turned to press-ons for, you know, the convenience and the price point. I love press-on nails ever since, you know, I was, you know, old enough to put on makeup, to put on nails. I've been using press-ons. The only thing is, whenever I take them off, they always left my natural nails damaged. And I got to think for myself, you know, we've seen so many amazing trends in, you know, color cosmetics and, you know, skincare, where everyone is kind of prioritizing natural health and natural beauty. And I feel like nail is one of the category where it hasn't really embraced that, you know. So I thought to myself, is there any way we can make a press on nail that don't damage your natural nails? And that's all I wanted as a consumer. I just wanted to end this vicious cycle of having to put on my nails over and over and over and over. And that I got to think, you know, how can I do to heal my nail health? So I start piecing together different tools that I would use myself to really ensure that I have a safe removal process, and also additional tools to help take care of my nails when I'm on break. So I basically invented this zero damage kit. It contains not just a, you know, nail glue, which is included in the traditional press-on kit, but additionally you have a acetone-free remover that doesn't dry your skin, doesn't have the harsh, irritating smell, but also can help you remove your press-on instantly. And aside from that, we also include like cuticle oils that help you take care of your skin and your nails, especially during the winter when it's really dry, or if you have existing nail damage. Oiling your nails is proven to be one of the, you know, healthiest way to help you with nail growth and nail healing. So I basically pieced together a kit that I use myself to prevent damage from press-on, and that became Bessie. So I launched the first product in late 2023, with this idea of a zero damage press-on nail kit. And then we post about it on TikTok. It went viral many, many times, and that's how we kind of kickstarted the brand. And since then, we've launched our handmade press-on design that's focused a lot on artistry, craftsmanship, and that has become our bread and butter nowadays, and that's what most people are known, we're known for most people. So the product definitely have evolved, and now we basically, you know, very, you know, focused, laser focused on press-on. We really believe this is going to be the next category in beauty, and we think there's so many amazing fun creative ideas to be explored.
Okay, I want to come back to that, but first I want to ask Aidan, you're the power duo. How do you split the roles and responsibilities in the company? And is it just the two of you in the company at this point?
We do have other employees and hires, but we, the two of us, definitely manage everything very closely. There's no real middle management at this point. So yeah, actually how we split it is kind of interesting. Funny enough, we were talking about that at our kind of corporate retreat, as we call it, where we're just the two of us, yeah, who talk about it. I tend to handle anything that is like legal compliance. I focus a little bit more on like sales and growth, I would say. And then, so those are kind of the areas that I own a bit more exclusively, but we have a lot of overlapping responsibilities. And then Yangxi is, anything with product is always with her. I've tried to like give suggestions on styles and designs before. I'm not that good, yeah. So anything with product and design is always Yangxi. And then Yangxi also handles anything creative, storytelling, design, filmmaking, yeah, yeah, photography, all that is completely her. And Yangxi actually does more of the finance than I do too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's get back to like the need state that you started with Yangxi. So there's dozens of press-on nail brands out there, and you can buy them right at all price points.
Right.
Why do you think one of these brands that's been established for decades didn't try to solve the nail care side of it?
Yeah, and that's a question I wonder too. Mm-hmm. As a consumer, I think one of the biggest thing is, you know, you have people who are in a corporate office, mostly men, making press-on nails and designing press-on patents. And there's maybe one or two brands that are actually innovating on press-on technologies. So that's number one. I think a lot of them do truly kind of don't come from the perspective of a user. I think as a woman consumer ourselves, we understand the best what makes a good product. So I think that's the number one thing. And I think number two is traditionally press-on focus on design and style. I think a lot of people haven't really placed this idea of wellness and health into press-ons. So this trend itself is a relatively newer trend. We've seen with Glossier, you know, natural skin first, makeup second. It's a newer sort of makeup and, you know, beauty trend. And I think a lot of these more established press-on institution, they are a little bit maybe old school with kind of how they think about press-on as a product. You know, they really think it's a drugstore. It's not luxury. It's a cheaper, you know, very, you know, one-time use press-on. But it really could be a lot of different things, especially now with the change in supply chain and technology.
So how long will Bessie glue hold the nails on
Yeah, so it depends on what tools you use. You have different options. We offer SMI gel glue, so which holds a little bit longer, so 2 to 3 weeks usually per wear. We also offer shorter term wear with a sticky tap option. That's also a little bit better than the sticky tap out in the market. So those you can use it, honestly, up to 1 day, 2 days, 3 days if you like. So we offer different flexibility for people, where a lot of times if you glue on a press on and you're like, I actually don't want this on right now. I'm a mom, I have to, take care of my babies. I don't want to have nails. And you can still take them off. So our kids really offer the flexibility, and we really believe, the press-on should fit into your lifestyle, not the other way around. And I think traditionally, we plan our life as women around our nails, when I will get my nails done, when I do my dishes. But I think really it should be the other way around. And I think we as a company, we as the brand, like, it's our responsibility to put out products that innovative that actually fit into modern women's life.
Yeah. So, Iran, when you started this, what did you hone in on, like the retail side of this? Like, where should you be selling and where are you actually selling?
Yeah. So right now we do sell exclusively online and then through a lot of our pop-up events. So we do a lot of pop-ups around in New York City. You may see us at some point if you're walking around at different marketplaces. So we do a lot of pop-up events, and then online is like our one of our main channels still.
On your own D2C.
Yes. Yeah, no Amazon or anything like that. We like to give people a consistent experience kind of throughout. And then we do feel like this could be something that we would, like to see with a retail partner. We think, especially with the handmade press-on nail, that's something that hasn't been done before in retail, at least not at scale in the U.S. And we think that the particular product line has a lot of benefits and can do a lot of really cool things for people. So at the end of the day, I think that, yeah, we're still, exploring finding like the right partners as we continue to grow our brand. But we think that there's a lot of like exciting things that can happen around retail. And we've certainly heard from our customers before that they love just seeing it in person at the end of the day. And I think that's like kind of where like the pop-ups and retail come in. Yeah.
So Yangxi, what is the handmade? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So we launched the artisanal handmade press-on nails in late 2024. And as we launched, it instantly became like our bestsellers. So how we do the handmade press-on is very different than traditional press-on. So to understand handmade press-on nails, you have to first understand how traditional press-on nails were made. Usually it's made, in a nail mold. It's pressed into a machine with ABS plastic or whatever material you want to instill in it. And that's the traditional manufacturing process for traditional press-ons. With handmade, as the name suggests, it's 100% made from hand, made from scratch. So it's the same process as how you get your nails done at a salon. We start with the tip, and we paint layers and layers of acrylics and real nail gel over it. We cure it with UV light, just as how you get your nails done at salons. And the benefit of that is that you get a nail that's really, really nice and sturdy, looks and feel exactly like salon gel and acrylic. A lot of press-on would say they look like acrylic, but they don't feel like acrylics. So these are real acrylics. So you attach it the same way as traditional press-on, but you can remove it. And with the removal and the kits that we give, you can reuse them over and over and over. So we have a lot of customers who use it, over a year, 2 years, when they take great care of it. And that's really what makes a huge difference.
So you actually have humans painting the individual nails as if I'm in a nail salon.
Exactly. We work with very, very talented nail artists. And that's kind of the main bulk of my job is design, it's iterations, it's reviewing productions. Every single set of handmade press-on you see, from the tip to the color to any rhinestone, is 100% placed by human.
So are you the only brand that's doing this at a mass level?
I would say we're one of the leading brands for handmade press-ons, but there are definitely a lot of people doing it. And actually, I would say going back to nail cultures and nail artistry, a lot of these are, usually led by your local nail techs.
Right.
So anyone who have a skill set can start a business that's, doing sort of these press-on nails.
Right, like I've seen it on Etsy.
Exactly.
So you're basically taking that model and making it, like, reproduce in
exactly, at scale. Huh? Exactly.
Okay, but still humans are painting this.
Exactly, right. 100%.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so let's go back to the power duo theme. Yes. You both have different roles in the company. You obviously collaborate a lot. Aidan, we'll start with you. What is it that you feel like you create a support for Yangxi, like where you're a really good partner and a good pair?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. I think that I think that actually kind of one of my core responsibilities, you know, as with any business, there's always a lot of compliance things. I think people don't realize how much different stuff there is. Everything from, you know, labor laws to when you hire someone to, you know, reviewing all of your IP protections and everything. You know, that's like a big part of it. And it's something where if you get it wrong or if you don't pay attention to it, it can be quite bad. And so I think that's an area where I'm able to really like help and support. I think, yeah, just kind of from my background, from previous work that I'd done, I was like well positioned really to support in that area. And I know, at least for Yangxi, she really does not like or focus on it too much. So I'm glad that I can really take that off the plate and like own it. And I think with any partnership, like there's always a lot of collaboration, but I think sometimes what a partner needs is for you to really like take a responsibility and like own it yourself so they don't have to worry about it. And I think that can be like a really powerful like combination when you're able to do that for someone else.
Yeah, there's so many worries in running a business, and when you have someone on your team who does the worrying for you,
exactly,
it like really takes away a lot that
mental energy load, weight. Yeah,
definitely.
So let's reverse a question for you, Yangxi. Yeah. What kind of support do you feel like you give to your partner in this work that makes you a great power duo?
I think Aidan and I have this really great dynamic where Aidan is always very meticulous. You know, he's the kind of person that slow down, let's think about it. I'm the person who is like, I'm all about momentum, go, 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 go. I have this idea, I'm going to execute it right now. So I think that balances each other really, really well. So I would say, you know, the way that we support, or I support, you know, us and the team, is I kind of lead a lot of the stuff and I want to push it and want to go. And I think Aidan really, we balance each other out a lot, where, you know, if we feel stuck, I'm always the one that's like, let's try this new thing, let's push it, let's keep experiment.
So I want to talk about the theme of success and how you define success, because this is early stages of the business. Sounds like you're doing very cool, unique things. So Aidan, we'll start with you. How do you define success right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, I think with any business, a lot of people can look at success as like, oh, you know, I like raised all this money, or I got, featured in all these cool things. I think there's some things like that. And, you know, those can matter. And I think if that matters for you and it makes sense for your business, that's great. For us, the most important thing is just the customers love the product. They like it. They're, you know, buying it again. We have good reviews, and that, you know, we're cash flow positive and we're strong. We are, you know, completely bootstrapped. So I think for us, just, you know, having that consistent, you know, growing profits coming in is really important. And honestly, I think we're just laser focused on those two things.
Having a good cash flow can keep the worries at bay, right?
Yes. Very much so. 100%. Yeah. I think 100%. Yeah. As soon as the cash flow gets stronger, it's kind of like your whole mindset, I think, actually adjusts around it. Yeah, in a way that I think has been helpful for us as like leaders and founders. So.
And Yangxi, how are you defining success?
I would say for me, defining success, especially with Bessie, is creating a product people genuinely love. And I think we've been able to achieve that. And a lot of people genuinely love our artisanal press-ons. And I would say the other area for me personally to define success is really about creating. I'm all about creating over consumption. So, you know, as long as we're innovating, we're creating something new, we're innovating, I think that's, to me, that's successful. You know, I think taking the businesswoman hat out, but as a pure, you know, creative, I think that's the most important thing, is creating something new in the world. I think newness, innovation, creativity, I think that's at the heart of what I want to do.
Yeah. It sounds like the two of you are having fun every day at work.
We do. Mostly, yeah.
So now I have some questions kind of off the Power Duos theme, but I am very curious.
Yeah.
Well, this one's actually, Natasha's very curious.
Yeah.
what are tricks for with long nails, navigating zippers, and buttoning shirts?
Okay, that's a great question. So I will say you do have to work and learn how to work with longer nails. For me, always just, you know, kind of, instead of, you know, curling your nails, you kind of got to get used to doing things with the flat finger to a certain extent. But I do actually recommend for people who do get annoyed for doing these random things, actually opting for a shorter design. You might be surprised how much you would like that.
A shorter nail.
Yeah. I've been always a long medium nail girl, but I think this year I've been going shorter and shorter, and I find that to be actually very surprisingly like fun and pleasant. So I would say, you know, if you do work a lot with your nails, opting for the right length is definitely very important. important. But if not, you know, take your time. Your nail is a piece of jewelry. Take the time you need to do the things, you know, with your hands, with your nails. But yeah, I think that would be my advice.
Yeah, that is good advice. So a lot of your growth is probably going to be around word of mouth or virality, like you mentioned. And you revealed this before you were watching the show, and you're like, wait, are those our nails? How easy is it for you to spot your nails out in the media?
I would say it is a little bit challenging to a certain extent because now it's so small, so it's really hard to see. So I think, like, you know, we've seen people in the wild with our nails, and those are, you know, very instantly recognizable. But I think if we do get a good look at it, I think it's pretty easy for both of us to kind of, you know, recognize it because our design is so original, so unique. But I would say usually for media, it is a little bit challenging in that sense. It's not closing, it's not makeup.
Right.
A lot of times people are not focusing on the nails when they're doing the whole look. So it's like once in a while, you know, we see it.
People will come up to us, like, sometimes. Just if we do, like, a pop-up, and they'll be like, look, I'm wearing them. That's definitely the most common way.
Yeah. Isn't that the best?
Yeah, which feels good. Yeah, bonus. I like to see that.
So, you know, in terms of growing awareness around your product, it sounds like TikTok is a very big tool for you, the pop-ups. What's next, right? This is a three-year-old business. You're competing against, like, giant global corporations in this category. Even if their product's not, like, equal to yours, they're still brands that are out there. What are the next steps to actually get more volume in the business in terms of customer base, more opportunities to present the brand in front of people? We'll start with you.
I think that's a great question. For us this year, we're actually focusing on expanding the geographic range of our pop-ups. So we've been doing a lot in New York, and we've been doing a lot in LA. And sure enough, we noticed that a lot of our online orders come from New York and LA. And the pop-ups do a good job of being, like, self-sustaining, like, they're profitable in and of themselves. So the more we expand, actually, just the better for us. And so we're definitely looking to do more of these in different cities this year. And then, you know, of course, I think we're always looking to improve our online thing. I think that for any brand that relies a lot on D2C, you know, the classic Meta ad ecosystem is always very important. Organic content is important. And so we're definitely doubling down on that this year. And that'll probably be our primary thing. So
Yangshi, what are some of the things that people have said to you when they meet you and they find out you're one of the co-founders?
I would say a lot of people are just like, oh, wow.
Actually, that happened really recently.
That happened really recently, like a few days ago, when we're actually getting a used couch from Facebook Marketplace.
So we went
to someone's house in Williamsburg. This is, and then we're just talking about work. They're like, do you work from home? We're like, yeah. And then they're like, what company you work at? We're like, oh, Bessie. They're like, oh my God, like the nail company? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, you know, it's
that
great.
That doesn't happen that often. That's
very cool. Yeah. And incredibly random.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredibly random. We got her couch. It was great. So I think that a lot of interactions are like that. And we're very, very community focused. So, you know, for example, you know, we think about how we, you know, promote our product. You know, one is to go out in the internet, where I think a lot of times people are a little bit more guarded seeing stuff on the internet. It's not as genuine, it's not as authentic. You know, we started literally just thinking about, okay, how can we activate our community? So we both live in, like, downtown Fort Greene in the Brooklyn area. And then we just go there every Saturday at the local craft market. Every single person in the neighborhood who loves nails, they always come to us. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just smaller things like that. I think we wanted to build long-term, genuine, authentic connection with our customer. And they're genuine, like our friends. So I think we start with that. And I think the D2C, the online, a lot of the momentum and growth, you can push it with, you know, sort of more technical, you know, tricks and tactics. But I think a brand has to build on this foundation. So I think for me, it's one way to look at how do you grow your brand to being retail, to get investors. But I think it's, you know, it takes time. And I think when the right time, the right momentum comes, I think everything will come to fruition. So, you know, for the next step, we're definitely looking for retail partners. We're definitely looking to grow our D2C, but I think it needs to be in a sustainable way, and it needs to still feel authentic to the community that we come from.
I love that you're working hard to own your own local community.
Yeah.
That's advice that we give to clients all the time. If you're based in Boston, you want people in Boston to know your company's based there. Like, make a really big effort to own that local community, because then you can expand.
Right.
Exactly. So I love that you take a lot of pride in that, and you're making an effort. It's going to pay off for you.
Yeah.
So this is an amazing conversation. Let's move on to the game part of our show. So we're calling it Craft It or Pass It.
Ooh.
So I'm going to read out different crafting and creative activities you can do around New York, classes, workshops, pop-ups. After each one, you have to decide, is it a craft it, meaning you'd absolutely do it, or pass it, not your vibe, okay? And since it's power duos and you are a couple in real life, it would be really interesting to see if you agree.
Yeah.
So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so craft it is a yes, pass it, not my vibe. Okay. This theme is pottery and ceramics. Do you want to do a pottery wheel class where you throw and shape your own mug or bowl, or a ceramics workshop, hands-on clay and glazing in Brooklyn?
Ooh.
Oh, wait, sorry, there's another one. Intro to pottery, beginner-friendly ceramics class in Manhattan. So there's three things to choose from. Pottery wheel, ceramics workshop, or intro to pottery.
Ooh. I would craft the pottery wheel, personally.
I would do intro to pottery.
So you're not going to the same class.
Well, yeah, I guess in this case we're not going to the same class. Yeah, we got to take a break from each other. Yeah, sometimes.
Well, you're going to do intro to pottery, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So then you'll learn and then you can join him on the pottery wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like I don't have the, you know, the right experience.
Yeah. I did a lot of clay things in middle school, funny enough. So yeah, maybe I'm ready for the wheel. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I started doing my carving, yeah.
Okay, next topic, candle and scent experiences. So here are your options. Candle making workshop at Atelier Artisan, which is where you craft your own artisanal scent candles with guided help. Or you can do a do-it-yourself candle session at Laterne Candle Lab, which is on Mulberry Street. It's a candle bar where you blend wax and fragrance. Wow. The third option is a candle and crafts night at Wick and Porter, which is in Olita, and it's a candle making shop. So candle making workshop, do-it-yourself candle session, or candle and craft night.
Ooh, those are all sound so fun.
Yeah, they do sound fun.
Yeah. I'm like, can I do all of them? Yeah.
I would go for the candle making workshop. It sounds amazing.
Which one was that? The first one?
The first one.
I think the first one too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They all do sound really cool. Okay, let's play one more.
Yeah.
This is a unique creative pick. So option one is perfume blending at Poem in Tribeca. You craft a signature scent and you learn the fragrance arts. Textile and fiber arts class at the Textile Arts Center. This is dyeing, embroidery, weaving, and more in a textile hub. Mm-hmm. Or multi-craft pop-ups with Craft Night NYC, which is like seasonal social workshopping fun. So you meet other people and you do whatever the seasonal activity is. And for this one, it's candle painting.
Ooh. Wow.
I would say number one.
I'll say number two, textile one.
You're going to be perfume blending and you're going to be making textiles. Yeah. Okay, tell me, Youngshi, why textiles?
I think it's really fun. I think one of my favorite things for making and designing nails is also patterns. So I love textile and patterns. And then I think that's why. I think a lot of nail design also draw a lot of seasonal designs from fashions. And like textile is a huge inspiration for nail patterns.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a bonus lightning round. You want to play it?
Okay.
Yes or no? Would you rather go to a perfume blending class in Tribeca or a woodworking workshop in Dumbo?
Ooh, woodworking.
Woodworking, okay. Yeah.
Which studio would be best for a date night? Candle lab or pottery class?
Pottery class?
Yeah, I think pottery class. Yeah.
And of all these things we talked about, which experience would you actually book this weekend and why?
Ooh.
Wow.
Which one would you do? I would do the candle making one, personally. Oh, wow. But
I think I would do the pottery class because I've always been wanting to do a pottery class.
Okay, so free time, then you'll come
back together. Yeah, free time, then we'll come back together. Yeah, exactly.
This is so fun. Thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Yeah, it was
fantastic.
Congratulations
on what you're building.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.